Today we're going to discuss the practice of Christian Science and why we need demonstration. Well, there was a friend of mine who studied law, but she never became a lawyer. And when I asked her why, she replied, "Because I never practiced." Another friend lives in Switzerland, and I asked him if he skied, but he said, "Not anymore, because I never have the time to practice." Isn't it the same in every walk of life? A musician needs to practice a lot to become a good musician. A cook, a mother, an actor, or a gardener has to practice frequently. Otherwise, they'd only be left with a beautiful theory. And now, if Mary Baker Eddy had never healed anyone, she too would have given to the world only a beautiful theory instead of a demonstrable truth. And if our beloved Master, Christ Jesus, had never healed anyone, who would have believed him or followed him? Mrs. Eddy says in Science and Health, "A musician demonstrates the beauty of the music he teaches in order to show the learner the way by practice as well as precept." She goes on to say, "Our Master taught no mere theory, doctrine, or belief. It was the divine principle of real being which he taught and practiced. His proof of Christianity was no form or system of religion and worship, but Christian Science, working out the harmony of life and love. Jesus sent a message to John the Baptist which was intended to prove beyond a question that the Christ had come. Here is the message. Go your way and tell John what things ye have seen and heard, how that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, to the poor the gospel is preached." In other words, tell John what the demonstration of divine power is, and he will at once perceive that God is the power in the messianic work. Wasn't the message that Jesus sent to John the same message that we need to keep to the forefront of our daily prayer, to help us to understand that we also need demonstration or proof, so that we also might prove beyond a shadow of doubt that the Christ has come? This is Christ Science, the Comforter that our Master promised would come. It is the final and complete revelation of truth. Nothing can be added to it, nor anything taken from it, and nothing needs to be added to it, nor taken from it. It is the complete science of Christianity, and it is ours to prove. This is the divine demand being made upon us, and God never asks us to do anything that is impossible. He supplies us with the inspiration and vision that we need. Mrs. Eddy also says in miscellaneous writings, "I first proved to myself, not by words, these afford no proof, but by demonstration of Christian Science, that its principle is divine. All must go and do likewise." Now, I have a good friend, a practitioner, who told me that her grandmother went through class with one of Mrs. Eddy's pupils when she was only 15 years old. Her parents were having class instruction, and they told the teacher that they didn't know what to do with their daughter while they were being taught. And she replied, "Bring her with you." So they did. And on the last day of class, the teacher told them to go out and heal someone. And this young girl healed their neighbor of Bright's disease. She became a full-time practitioner at 17. Now, I'm sure that you remember that Mrs. Eddy told her pupils on the first day of class to go home and heal someone. Now, I know that many of you are thinking, well, that was then, but I couldn't do that today. Well, you're right. You could not do that today. But Christ's truth can. The Christ is the only healer, and the Christ has not lost its healing power. It was the Christ that enabled Jesus to heal, that enabled Mrs. Eddy to heal, and enables you and I to heal today. The Christ is not fearful, discouraged, uninspired, nor is it the victim of the world's materialism, its denials, or its malpractice. The Christ is your true identity. You as God knows you. You as you really are. But you cannot heal while you see yourself as a mere mortal, or while you see others the same way. Now, we have discussed why we need to heal or demonstrate the truth. And now we need to discuss how to demonstrate the truth. And I love this verse from the Bible, from John chapter 12, verse 32. "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." When I first went into the full-time practice of Christian Science, I didn't have many patients. And I used to study this verse, because I thought it meant that if I lifted up the Christ, my true identity, that I would draw all men unto me. So I really worked on that for quite a long time. But do you know what? No new patients came. So I asked God why. What am I doing wrong? And one day I realized that I was making a separation or division between me and everyone else. I believed that I was a child of God because I was claiming that I was, but everyone else was not, because they were not praying and studying like I was. Then one day I saw very clearly that the I meant everyone's true identity. The truth that was true for me was true for everyone, whether they knew it or not. So if I lift up the I have to do it for everyone. The I of me is also the I of you, and of everyone, and of everything. Every blade of grass, every tree, every flower. It's so wonderful to quietly contemplate this truth, that everything we see with our eyes or hear with our ears is a lie about God's beloved child. Right where we see a sick, ugly, old, selfish, or mean man, right there is a beautiful, flawless, innocent, pure, spotless, unblemished Lamb of God. God's child is healthy, happy, peaceful, contented, whole, ageless, timeless, pure, innocent, intelligent, wise, and completely spiritual. He is tender, loving, beloved, and lovable, despite all evidence to the contrary. God made man good. What a joy to really see this for everyone. You suddenly feel at peace about yourself and everyone else's true self, because yourself is myself, and myself is yourself. Our only true selfhood is God, the one perfect, innocent, pure, flawless being. God is the body, and we are the members of that body. And if we believe lies about our fellow man, then we believe in diseased and discordant members, and so we suffer mentally and physically. Every member is perfect. Each one is equally important and beloved by God. When I began to see this truth clearly, I suddenly saw that there was no man in need of healing, because God's child is already perfect in every detail. Then I began to get many calls, because I lifted up the I, the capital I, and that's what drew them. At that time, I also saw clearly that I needed to declare this truth daily for the whole world, for the members of my family, church, community, and my world. Mrs. Eddy tells us that the emphatic purpose of Christian Science is the healing of sin. Now you may be thinking, well, where do we begin? There is so much sin in this world. How do we pray for it all? We don't pray for it all. We pray to see through it, to see only as God sees. We have only to heal ourselves of the belief that we live in a sinful world. We need to put ourselves into the kingdom of heaven, where there is no sin, disease, or death. There never was an Adam or an Eve. Only the perfect man of God's creating. And we can do this with the Lord's Prayer, which is a very healing, powerful prayer that is applicable to any situation. Several years ago, when the troubles broke out in my country and they were at their peak, now you've all heard me say in my lecture, Our True Environment, the Kingdom of Heaven, that the Lord's Prayer is the most powerful prayer that we can pray. Well, I still believe that, and I believe that it's very important to the practice of Christian Science that we pray with it daily and collectively. I like to see us doing this more and more, because we're all His disciples, followers of Christ, and our true purpose or reason for being is to prove that the God we believe in is a loving, caring God who cares for His creation and couldn't send sickness or death, because He does no evil. Practicing is demonstrating this truth. Without this demonstration, there is no proof. And before I leave the subject of the Lord's Prayer, I'd like to share the following story with you. Some years ago, I gave this lecture, Our True Environment, the Kingdom of Heaven, to a little church in England. This lecture was based on the Lord's Prayer. After the lectures, two ladies came up to thank me. They explained that they were not Christian Scientists, but they came because their friend had invited them. Then they remarked that they'd never heard the Lord's Prayer said in that way, and they'd taken notes of what I'd said. Sometime later, the chairman of the lecture committee wrote to me, and she told me that those two ladies told her that the minister of their church was very ill with cancer, and they called a meeting of the female members in their church, and they told them of my lecture and the Lord's Prayer. They were all given a copy of their notes and asked to pray for their minister in the way that I had prayed for the man who came to my door. I was very moved by this wonderful demonstration, mostly because it was so impersonal. They all prayed for that minister with the Lord's Prayer, simply with the Lord's Prayer, and the man was healed and freed. And I was so moved by this demonstration, mostly because it was so impersonal. No personalities were involved. It was the power of the Lord's Prayer, and it is yours to prove in the same way. Please try to do it for yourselves. And let us discuss the Lord's Prayer. Supposing you have a friend who's ill with cancer or some other disease, how can you apply the Lord's Prayer to that? Well, you can begin something like this. Our Father. And you can know that when you say Our Father, it doesn't mean just your Father, but your friend, your beloved friend's Father. Our Father, which art in heaven. If our Father's in heaven, and He is, and in heaven there's no sin, sickness, nor death, so God doesn't know it, He doesn't think about it, He doesn't see it or feel it. And because He's in heaven, we're in heaven too. You're in heaven right now, and your friend that you're so concerned about is in heaven too. Hallowed be Thy name. Know that your friend's name is hallowed and adored, because he too is a child of God. Thy kingdom come. Here I pray that God lets us see His kingdom right here, where we see this earth so full of sickness and sin and death. Give us this day our daily bread. Here we pray that God will give us inspiration and vision so that we can see the perfect man of God's creating right where we see this sick man. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Here we can pray that God will truly forgive us our debts that we owe to our brother man, the debt that can only be repaid by seeing him as God sees him. And lead us not into temptation. And pray that God will not let us be tempted into believing that this sickness is real. But deliver us from evil. Deliver us from believing in evil, from seeing evil, from hearing evil. For Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. It's God's heavenly kingdom right here, and it's His power that heals and frees forever and ever. Amen. We can pray that prayer simply, and that's the prayer our Master left to His disciples and the world, and the only prayer that He gave us. So we must truly recognize the power of this prayer to be able to truly demonstrate the truth that is Christian Science. Now let's change the subject and ask ourselves, what keeps us from healing or being healed? It's animal magnetism. It is animal magnetism that says we're not good enough, that we do not have enough understanding. Most of us have been class taught, and when Mrs. Eddy taught a class, she told them to heal in the very first day. Now those who obeyed prospered. Now it wasn't Mrs. Eddy herself, but the truth she taught that gave her the authority to tell her students to go out and heal. This was the same authority that Jesus used when He told His disciples to go into all the world and heal and preach and teach in His name. And He's still telling us to do that. We are all His disciples. Disciple comes from the word discipline. And so we need to discipline our own thought about everything and everyone that our thoughts rest upon. Every person we see or know is a member of our body, which is God. And if we are constantly thinking about our own body, or about certain people who irritate us, or that we resent for any reason, this is animal magnetism at work, keeping us from dwelling in the kingdom of heaven, perfect God, perfect man, and perfect universe. I remember when I was a new practitioner, many people came to me and told me things about a prominent Christian Scientist that I'd always looked up to and respected. She'd passed on a few years before this, but the people who had been misled and hurt because of what she said and did still seemed to be suffering a great deal. It seemed most unjust, as many people practically worshipped this person, and now they felt she had misled them. I became so upset about this that I couldn't stop thinking about it. And one day I decided to write a letter to the board of directors in Boston about this situation. I got halfway through it when I had a phone call from someone who was in London on business and was suddenly violently ill. I asked her to call back in half an hour. She did, and said she felt worse. I asked her to call back in another half hour, and once again she was worse. And when it happened for the third time, I prayed faithfully for one more hour. And after she called this third time, I fell on my knees on the floor and said, "Father, what is it that I need to know? What is it in me that would restrict or obstruct this healing?" And soon I heard the words, "Remember the golden rule." Now the golden rule was something I had not thought about in a long time. And I thought of the words, "As ye would that men should do to you, do to them." So I asked myself, if I'd been a teacher of Christian Science, and I'd made mistakes, and I'd now passed on, what would I like people to do for me? Why, I would like them to forgive me and remember only the good. After all, only the good is real. Suddenly I was able to do just that. I realized that this woman had had so many people turning to her personally for answers to their problems, and not enough people prayerfully supporting her, that I began to feel great compassion and a sense of affection towards her. It was suddenly easy to forgive. Then I was able to remember a lot of good things that she had done for me and many others, and for the cause of Christian Science. Then all of a sudden I loved her as a brother in Christ. I saw that she had progressed way beyond gossip, and so must I. All the tension, anger, frustration, and righteous indignation just melted away, and I felt peaceful, loving, and free. Righteous indignation, you know, is one of the devil's tools. It's one we all need to watch out for. The patient called soon after this, completely healed. She was able to complete her business and could hardly believe how suddenly she was well. At the same time that I was praying in this way, my youngest son was involved in a serious car accident, from which he walked away unhurt. And I've often wondered what would have happened if I'd not changed my thinking. This experience and a few others like it taught me the importance of prayer for oneself. In my early days as a practitioner, I had a baby case with a serious skin disorder. This was believed to have been inherited, and there had been much prayerful work done already for this baby. Well, the situation was soon met. The baby had a beautiful healing. Its skin was all clear and beautiful as it should be. And about 5 days after the healing, I had a call from the mother early one morning. She was very distressed and said she was coming to see me immediately as the healing had been reversed and the baby was on fire and in a fever and had this nasty rash all over her body. I was very shocked and couldn't understand what had happened. So again I asked to be shown what it was I needed to learn, and the answer came back, pray for yourself. Well, I couldn't quite understand this, but I obeyed and began to declare that I was God appointed and God anointed, that no form of animal magnetism, aggressive mental suggestion, appearing as envy, jealousy, malice, hatred, criticism, or any form of poison appearing as mental malpractice could in any way interfere with the truth that I was declaring. It couldn't delay it, postpone it, obstruct it, or reverse it, because the Word was God and it could not be denied or prevented from bearing fruit. By the time the young mother and baby reached my house, the baby was healed and peacefully sleeping. The young woman burst into tears and told me she had something to confess. She said that when she told certain members of her family and a few friends that she had asked me for help and that the baby had been healed, they became very angry that she had come to me, as their family had always used a certain practitioner. Well, when she told me that, I was so grateful that I'd listened to working for myself, and I saw the importance of us all working for ourselves. Don't be so naive as to think, like I used to think, that every Christian Scientist was perfect. We've got good Christian Scientists and we've got bad Christian Scientists, and we need to protect ourselves from all sorts of aggressive mental suggestions. And I've always been really grateful for this lesson, because we're inclined to think as practitioners that we get wonderful support from all our members. Unfortunately, this is not always the case, and we need to be aware of it. The Bible tells us that a man's foes shall be they of his own household, Matthew 10 and 36. Mrs. Eddy had many enemies in her own household, people that she had healed and taught, but she grew stronger and wiser because of them, and we will too when we learn to protect ourselves and pray for ourselves at least once a day. I pray to know that I was never born into matter, I never grew up in matter, I was never conditioned into or by matter, and I will never die out of matter. I am nobody's child, nobody's sister, nobody's mother or grandmother. I am that I am, and not this I am. The I am that I seem to be, and that everyone knows, and which is not really me at all. For only what God knows about me is true. I am God's spiritual child only. I've never left heaven for earth. I live in the atmosphere of God's dear love, in eternal, vibrant life. I am the expression of all that God is. God is expressing himself as me, but it's God who is doing the expressing. I cannot be impressed by mortal mind's lying suggestions. God being the only mind, he is my mind. and in that mind is no least trace of aggressive mental suggestion to argue or suggest mortal mind's beliefs to me. Its suggestions can frighten me, can confuse me, cannot make me believe lies about myself or anyone else, and cannot make them believe lies about me, because my mind is the only mind, and it is also their mind. No phase of animal magnetism can prevent me from fulfilling God's holy purpose. This mind is always peaceful, undisturbed, calm, serene, loving, graceful. It is always inspired, hopeful, joyful, and contented. This I know, because I am the compound idea of God, and I include all right ideas, and only right ideas. And this truth everyone else knows, because they too are the compound idea of God, and they know it. We don't have to give it to them. We have only to know it for all. Remember, it is animal magnetism that says that you are ill, that you have a chronic problem that is not yielding to the truth declared by yourself, and perhaps by many practitioners. But isn't that because we're trying to handle the effect and not the cause? Mrs. Eddy tells us, there is but one primal cause, therefore there can be no effect from any other cause, and there can be no reality in aught which does not proceed from that great and only cause. Now if God is the only cause, and he is good, then he can only cause good. So the seemingly real cause, animal magnetism, is not a cause at all, because it is not from God. So it is nothing more than illusion, false suggestion. In a chapter entitled Animal Magnetism Unmasked, in a Christian Science textbook, we read that animal bodies are susceptible to the influence of this agent. So every time we give in to some discord in our body, or ourselves, or another, we're admitting that we are mortal, or an animal body. Let's turn on this liar and say, animal magnetism, you cannot fool me, because I am not an animal body. I am the child of God, made in his image and likeness, and cannot be fooled by errors, lying suggestions. God is my mind, and my mind is filled with health, wealth, spiritual reality, peace, joy, harmony, wisdom, and understanding. All that God is, I am, right now and always, and so is everyone else, whether they know it or not. Before you read the lesson sermon, treat yourself to know that you cannot be mesmerized or put to sleep or distracted in any way from this precious time with your impersonal pastor, who is revealing to you everything you need to know this day for yourself, your family, friends, church members, and concerning world beliefs. I used to keep the monitor beside me while I was reading my lesson sermon. Then I would write beside certain articles the truth that was applicable to certain world problems. Now this is a good way to pray for the world and for your own personal problems. Write out a list of the names of your family, associates, and even your so-called enemies. Then beside them, write out something from the lesson sermon, and then you can go and enlarge upon your treatment. In this specific treatment, to get the full benefit of the lesson sermon, the next step is to claim the power of the word, to know that the truth that you are reading or declaring is not only the word of God, it is God with us. Know that you cannot be tricked into thinking that these are only words. This is the revelation of truth, and God's children everywhere are receptive to that truth. The truth of perfect God, perfect man, perfect universe is so wonderful, so awe-inspiring, that it is irresistible. The Christ in man is always obedient, always receptive. The Christ is man's true and only selfhood. Please know every time that you're reading the lesson sermon or listening to it being read, that this truth is being read throughout the world, and it is being felt throughout the world, and it is the greatest power in the world. We are being fooled into believing that our truth is not doing any good, just because we're not seeing many new members in our churches, or because someone dear to us didn't get his healing in the way that we thought he should have. Don't be fooled into doing errors work for us. We are doing more than we know. We're breaking up world beliefs. We are preparing the soil for the seeds of truth. Every time my telephone rings, I tell myself as I go to answer it, I cannot be mesmerized into believing the story that I'm about to hear. Animal magnetism cannot trick me. The buck stops right here. Now, I've noticed that when I forget to do this, the work is more difficult. Several times I've had to say to someone, please stop talking about the symptoms or the problems, because if you succeed in mesmerizing me, we're both sunk. Have you noticed that it is much more difficult to arouse yourself from the dream of sin, sickness, or death when the problem is yours? If it is someone else's problem, it's easier to detach yourself from it. The best way to handle this is to know there is no such thing as a personal problem. This is world belief trying to impose itself upon my thinking and make itself real. Millions of zeros are still only zero until you put a unit in front of it. Refuse to be that unit. When my youngest daughter was in Sunday school, she learned to say, error has no eyes and I can't use mine. Error has no lips and I can't use mine. Error has no ears, and I can't use mine. Then she would go right through her body this way. One time I fell and broke a bone in my foot, and I knew that it was malpractice, because I had just put my name in the journal as a Christian Science practitioner, and someone in my church was very shocked that I had done this, and appeared to be very angry. And on the way home, I fell over a big stone and broke a bone in my foot. And I was in bed with it. And my little daughter, Tracy, came in and said, error has no foot and I can't use my mommy's. And the very next day, I was to visit a man in prison. And I didn't know how I was going to get there. And I crawled downstairs after the children went to school. And there was a knock at my door, and I crawled along and answered it, and it was my neighbor who told me he was going out for the day and asked me to take his milk in of the step. Then he said, what on earth are you doing on the floor? and I told him that I'd broken a bone in my foot, but I needed to go to the prison, and he very kindly said he would drive me there. And I went into the prison and had to be helped in there with two guards. But when I got in there, the prisoner that I was visiting was in a very sorry condition, because one of his friends in there had been beaten the night before by two guards. And he was so angry and upset about this that I had to start and know the truth to him, and forgot all about myself, and went out of that prison and walked home and didn't even realize that I was healed. I went into the house and was making the lunch when my daughter Tracy came home from school, and she said, "Mommy, what happened to your foot?" And I told her that it was all better, and she and I danced round the kitchen. And that was a lovely proof to me that error had no foot and I couldn't use mine. And I also often say error has no home and I can't use mine. I've noticed in the practice that people confide to me that they cannot pray for their spouse or their children because they've not asked for help. But this is not true. We're all working out our own salvation and have a God-given right to pray about anything that's going on in our home. Our consciousness. Your home is your consciousness, and you have a God-given right to treat it. In Mrs. Eddy's interpretation of the 23rd Psalm, she says, "I will dwell in the house, the consciousness of love, forever." Now, we can be so conscious of sickness or strife in our households that we cannot be conscious of love. Isn't that just what error wants? It has us glued to personality or personal problems, and so disturbs our thinking that we become resistant to healing. Well, we're doing error's work for it when we react to personal sense. If you want to see a perfect reflection by a lake, the lake has to be perfectly calm, like a mirror. Then we see the reflection of the trees, etc., as clearly as in the original. But if the lake is blown about by the wind, then the reflection is muddled. So don't be blown about by the waves of adversity. That's the way it is for us as well. The greatest lesson you'll ever learn is to be still, undisturbed, at peace. And peace will become the way to healing. Tell yourself every day, "I cannot be disturbed by anything that occurs this day, whether it's in my body, my home, my business, or my world. I cannot be disturbed by it because God isn't disturbed." Remember when the Master Christ Jesus knew that he had to leave his disciples? He left all of them and all of us his most precious legacy, peace. He said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you." And he went on to say, "Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." You see, it's not what's happening in our homes, our bodies, our finances, our churches, or our world, that we are letting it disturb us. Don't let anything or anyone disturb you. Why? Because it's not disturbing God. Our God is a God of peace, eternal peace, and nothing that is happening on this earth can possibly disturb him or rob him of his tranquility. Remember, the Master also said, "When ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, see that ye be not troubled. Because we are made in the exact image of God, it is our true nature to be calm, peaceful, and undisturbed. Now you need to practice this peace constantly, because it doesn't happen overnight. When we have been so used to getting upset and worrying that we have to refrain ourselves to be calm and peaceful. Stress is one of the biggest problems in the world today. Look at how many tranquilizers are sold every week all over the world. But medicine or matter cannot give us the peace we desire. Only the pure truth of Christian Science can do this. The peace of God that passeth all understanding is ours right now, this instant. Claim it. I studied this subject of peace for 2 years before the power of peace began to dawn on me. There is more power in remaining peaceful than in all the fear and anger in the world. Try it for yourself. Be determined that nothing can disturb you this day. Some years ago, when I was suffering a lot from a violent husband and from the strain of trying to bring up 5 children alone, there were times when I just didn't want to live or fight anymore. And one day I was lying on my settee feeling weary and unwell, frightened and very ill. And my husband broke a window and got into my house. At that moment, I felt I didn't care what he did to me. I had no more fight left in me. But the work that I'd been doing sustained me, even in a time of doubt. Then all of a sudden, I began to think, you know, this whole scenario is totally unreal. Because it's not happening in the kingdom of heaven, my true home, the consciousness of love, where all is peace, joy, harmony. And so I claim my God-given right to feel peace right now, not when circumstances change, but right here and now, because peace is a reality, and I needed to claim it. I suddenly felt at peace. Peace, not for any reason, but because it is man's right to remain calm and undisturbed, and to trust in the power of the Word, not in my own power. Do you see what was happening here? I wasn't treating my husband. He certainly didn't want me to. But I was treating my own home, my consciousness, my God-given right to dwell in the consciousness of God's dear love and to be at peace. My husband simply looked at me and then he ran away. And I got up from that settee feeling completely refreshed. I cleaned my house from top to bottom and felt very energetic, calm, serene, peaceful, and secure. Now this was just one of many occasions when I was able to claim that error has no home and it couldn't use mine. And it can't use yours, for you are God's beloved child. There have been many other opportunities since then to prove the power of peace. In my community, believe me, you need to be doing this constantly. Though I have to admit, there are times when I forget, and it seems easier to be angry and frustrated. But then I have twice as much work to do to get it out. So don't let this happen to you. Now error has no church, and it can't use ours. This is one way that error would use us all, by making us angry or concerned about things that are happening in our own branch churches or the Christian Science movement. Remember, I told you once that church is spelt C-H-U-R-C-H. The letters U-R are in the middle of the word church. In other words, you are church. Forget about the things that other people are doing or not doing. That is not our business. Our business is to practice the healing power of Christian Science, to be at peace and remain calm and undisturbed, to make a demonstration every day. Now let's ask ourselves today, how are we doing? Are we healing, even in little ways? Are we peaceful under all circumstances? Are we trying to be? If we can answer these two questions honestly and positively, then we are obeying the Master's command and demonstrating the power of the Word and the truth that we all love. Forget about the things that don't really matter and dwell in the consciousness of love forever. Only then will we be in the frame of mind not only to heal, but to be healed. Be undisturbed by anything that is happening in your family, church, or world. Mortal mind wants to keep us disturbed, so be alert to its wicked lies. Don't be fooled by them. Now I'd like to bring you back to this subject that we discussed earlier. Before we get off the subject of animal magnetism, I'd like to remind you that the 91st Psalm is the power of protection. And a practitioner told me once to read it every day. And I did this for years and years. I haven't been so consistent with it recently, but I think it's time I got back to it. And I'll read you some of it. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High, and that means your true selfhood and mine, shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Because He has set His love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. And I love it where it says, I will deliver him and honor him. I is your true identity. It's that will deliver you. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Where could you have greater promises than these? Now, right now, I'd like to bring you back to the subject that we discussed earlier. In the June 1936 journal, there was a reprint of a letter from Mrs. Eddy, dated 1903, in which she says, "Unless we have better healers, and more of this work than any other is done, our cause will not stand. And having done all, stand. Demonstration is the whole of Christian Science. Nothing else proves it. Nothing else will save it and continue it with us. God has said this, and Christ Jesus proved it. Now she said, nothing else will save the Christian Science movement but demonstration. So we all need to get busy. For here Mrs. Eddy tells us clearly that nothing but demonstration will save the cause of Christian Science. In other words, all our human efforts to draw newcomers to our churches or lectures are useless if we're not demonstrating or proving the truth that we read daily. Otherwise, it becomes a beautiful theory and nothing else. Webster's dictionary defines the word demonstrate as to show or prove to be certain, to prove beyond the possibility of a doubt, the highest degree of evidence, indisputable evidence. Isn't this what the Master Christ Jesus also said was necessary? The demonstration of God's power? He knew nothing else would convince mankind. As I mentioned earlier in this talk, Christ Jesus knew that demonstration was necessary to convince the world that he was the promised Savior. Matthew 11:2-5 tells us, now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said unto them, go and show John again those things which ye do see and hear. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. In other words, he said that the proof of the truth he preached was in demonstration, and that demonstration is always necessary if we are to convince the world that Christian Science is the comforter as promised by Christ Jesus. We need to do it by demonstration. There is no other way. So what would the carnal mind attack? Healing. It tries to stop this by getting us all worked up about the problems in our movement. When our thoughts are full of personalities, it's impossible to heal. We have to keep our minds full of truth and love, to stand at the door of thought, to be awake to what we're admitting into consciousness. Personal sense is a wicked form of animal magnetism, and you can rest assured that if your mind is on personality, that's evil at work. Someone told me a story that a woman went to a practitioner's office and said she was suffering from about 16 physical problems. She then asked the practitioner, what do you think ails me? And the practitioner replied, my dear, it's not what ails you, it's who ails you. The woman thought for a moment and then she said, about 16 people. She recognized that it was not a physical problem that she was suffering from, but a personality one. Now when this happens to me, I read 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and that helps me to see very clearly that we're all members of one body, and each member of that body is precious, needed, and important, that the hand cannot say to the foot, I have no need of thee. In other words, every person that my thoughts rest upon is a member of my body. And what I think about them affects me in some way. It's important that we don't think ill of anyone, even if they appear to be in the wrong. It's more important that we refuse to see God's man as sick or sinful. The man that God made is pure and sinless. He is incapable of dishonesty, cruelty, lust, or evil of any kind. The material senses would have us believe differently. Don't be taken in. Remember that you are wedded to the true concept of perfect God, perfect man, perfect universe, and you can't be divorced or separated from it by any aggressive mental suggestion. And this truth also helps those who are suffering from loneliness. Just think how many people in the world feel incomplete. They're convinced that they need another person in their lives before they can feel loved, cared for, happy, or worthwhile. The reason why they cannot seem to meet anyone is because they feel that they need to get. Man is already complete, perfect, satisfied, joyful, peaceful, contented. He is the loved of love. When he accepts and expresses joy and contentment, he draws that to himself. I went through years of loneliness, a sense of rejection, insecurity, unhappiness. And one day while reading an article in the Sentinel, I don't remember what this article was about, but I suddenly saw very clearly that God loved me, that there's no one in the world that he loves more than he loves me, that I didn't need someone giving me flowers or presents to make me feel loved. I am the loved of love, and I know it. Suddenly I felt warm and loved and hugged. This true sense of love, no one person can give you. And no one can keep it away from you either. For even happily married couples need to learn their own completeness and their relationship to God. And sometimes it seems more difficult for people who are happily married to understand what true marriage is, because they believe that their happiness, joy, and ability to love and feel loved is because of another person. We all need to learn that the ability to love and feel loved and cherished is from God, and it's ours by expression. Aren't we always believing that we need to get something? More time, more money, more opportunities, a new job, a home, companionship, energy, health, something added to our bodies or our lives, before we can be the perfect child of God. Our only need is to realize our completeness, our health, an infinite supply, eternally present and omniactive, right where our incompleteness appears to be. If man is the expression of God's being, then he is the expression of all that God is. Infinite intelligence, wisdom, peace, joy, health, harmony, vitality, beauty, and life eternal. Today I'm going to ask a favor of each of you. Will ye watch with me 1 hour? Will you promise to pray for 1 hour each day? Pray for each Christian Scientist in the world that God will feed us all with fresh inspiration, vision, and hope. Pray that God's presence and power be felt. As in heaven, so on earth, God is omnipotent, supreme. pray that we be not tempted into material ways and methods of solving our problems. Pray that we be not tempted by evil in any form. Pray for the ability to forgive, and that others be given the ability to forgive us. Most of all, pray that we may be willing and able to express the love that is divine, the impartial, unconditional love that is God. As God's children, we reflect all that God is, so it's natural for us to love. Love is our true nature. If we're not loving, we're not living. For love alone is life. If love is life, as Mrs. Eddy tells us in her poem, then we need to love as God loves. And we're only loving when we're seeing the perfect man as Jesus did. Now sometimes I know it feels difficult to do this, but I find at those times it helps to break the mesmerism. Pray to know that Christian Science is the truth, and it heals right now, just as it did in the Master's time. The power is God's, and it cannot be lost or weakened. We cannot be made to do others' work for it by believing that we have lost our ability to heal. It was never ours in the first place. We have to be like the Master and declare, I can of my own self do nothing, but I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Forget that we're small in number. Our Master only had 12 disciples, and he must have believed that that was enough when he fed the multitude with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And he made his demonstration by thanking God for the supply at hand. May we do this too. May we realize that we are enough. Like Gideon's army, we have to prove that it is the quality that counts, not the quantity. There is a saying that 1 volunteer is worth 10 enlisted men. Be a volunteer, a willing worker. Pray with me, and the quality of that prayer can change our world, for one with God is a majority. Ask God to give thee skill in comfort's art, that thou mayest consecrated be and set apart unto a life of highest ministry. This is the highest position attainable.